We're glad you're here as well. A couple of things as we begin this morning. One is that June the 4th, which is coming quickly, is our Friends and Family Day. So hope that you're planning on attending that day, being with us on that day, inviting your friends and family to come and join us, neighbors. We would love for everybody to come and join us. Tony Holt, who spoke last year, will be back again this year. We always enjoy Tony coming and being with us. So hope that you'll plan on June the 4th, always the first Sunday in June. And I've even had folks calling asking when it was going to be, planning on attending. So plan on being a part of that. And we'll have a carry-in meal for lunch that day. So plan on coming and joining us on June the 4th. For those of you who are visiting, you're welcome to come back and invite you to be back all the time, but certainly on June the 4th, come back and be with us. Second thing that is of importance, and help me with the name, the Goodman's granddaughter?
Marcella.
I was thinking, and then I thought, no, that was Miss Burgess's name. Maybe I'm wrong. She had her surgery on Friday and seems to be doing well. She's been on our prayer list, but she had four major heart defects that they had to surgically work on. They had to move an aorta and some other valves, and she only had one ventricle. So they had to, I guess, go in and create another ventricle in her heart. Those are the lower chambers of her heart. So very, very serious surgery, but seems to have come through that very well. So continue to be prayerful and thankful for that she is doing very well. So we're just thankful for that and want to continue to be very prayerful for her family and for her recovery. Third, today our contribution will go to the work in Scotland in Cumbernauld for them to secure the property that they have located and be able to construct a building there. I know if you were here on the Wednesday night, or especially if you were in class last Sunday morning, we talked about it. This is just an astonishing opportunity that they have. The church is not extremely strong in Scotland and hasn't been for a number of years, was stronger than it is now. But as you know, Europe is kind of a tough place. And so mostly they've met in rented facilities and those things with very low visibility. And this gives them an opportunity to have a lot more visibility, just to for people to know the church is there and active, and allow them to expand. They're pretty much maxed out in the location where they are. So this is, I think, a tremendous opportunity. So if you're prepared today, we hope that you'll have been prayerful about that and will give to that. But also in the foyer, or as they say in California, the foyer, in the foyer, there are some cards. If you want to do a pledge, maybe you're not prepared today, you say, I can't do all today I'd like to do, there are these cards where you can do things over time or in some payments. And if you want to do that, certainly feel free to fill those out and then get those back. You can get those to me or one of our elders, and we will take care of that. So lots of opportunities, and we want to be prayerful about that work as well. Habakkuk is a prophet you probably haven't spent a lot of time with, but Habakkuk asks God some questions, and God answers him in the book of Habakkuk. And he has real concerns about why, for a large part, the concern is, why is evil allowed to continue? Why are people who do evil allowed to prosper and go apparently without punishment? And it is an age-old question, isn't it? I mean, it's the question still asked today. Why do people who do bad seem to prosper, and folks who do good tend to suffer? Or why do bad things happen to good people? It's all kind of tied up in one. And so Habakkuk asks those questions, and God gives him answers. But in this third chapter, Habakkuk has a prayer to God. But I only want to look at one verse of that prayer today. Only the first verse, the first part of that prayer that was read for us this morning, and talk about that. And as we kind of set the backdrop, and really wasn't primarily what I thought of as I was studying this and thinking about it, but I want to talk about an issue that kind of ties into this, that's one that's, I think, kind of personal for all of us and for us to think about. And I'm going to ask you a question, and I'll kind of lead you in a moment, but I'll let you think about this. These are rhetorical questions to ask. One, why are you a Christian? Why do you come to the assemblies? What do we hope to gain from our being here together? Just think about those questions for a moment. There are no right or wrong answers. In fact, there are lots of answers that are probably right. Just in thinking about this, you know, I wanted to prioritize my answers in a different way than I might have prioritized them before. And so I'll talk about that for a moment, and you might agree or disagree, or yours might already be prioritized this way. There are lots of reasons that we would want to be together, come to the assembly. It's to learn. It's to be strengthened. It is to serve. It is to worship. It is to learn about God. It's to learn what God would have us to do. And then there might be a whole list of other reasons that are personal to us about why we might be Christians. Certainly eternal life has to be up there high on the list. I hope that it is, because it certainly is for me. But something I want us to ask this question about: how much is our being Christians and being in the assemblies and being children of God about God? How much of it is about God, and how much of it is about me? How much of it's about God, and how much of it's about me? Now, when I say about me, I want to expand that just a little bit, because this is not a lesson where I'm going to really fuss at myself or at you about the me, because the me might not be about selfishness. All right, the about me might be about the things that are important to me, like people that are not me personally, but people I have concern about. We've been praying for Marcella. That's not me personally, but has been a concern for me and for many of us, and we've been prayerful about that. And that's a good thing, right? It's important. And all kinds of things about our country, about our families, about all of those things. But when I say about me, too few of the times do I just stop and say, I should be more about God. I should be more about God. Not just knowing that He's there and that He rewards those who seek Him and that He is the giver of eternal life and that He loves us. Although all of those things get me through the day and probably you, make life have meaning, right? Is that fair? They should. But how many times do I stop and say, but what about God? Am I honoring God? Is my life service and worship to God? Very often, and I would imagine, I hate to use the term guilty, because that's not really where I want to go, but very often I find myself even searching the Scriptures, and I know this is what God's will is, but very often I search the will of God so I can learn things, so I can be better. Is that fair for many of us? And I should desire to want to be better, and I use that term, and be more like what God would have me to be. But how often do I sit back and say, I want to be about God, and I want to live a life that brings glory and honor and praise to God? It's not just about semantics. It's really a change in attitude where I want to seek God and I want to do what He's called me to do. And I do want to be better in being like Him, but not for the sake of my being better, which in my mind, in my subconscious, might make me feel more worthy, which I really want to do. While I know I'm unworthy, I really want to be worthy? Don't you? Let's be honest. Don't you want to be? I mean, even though we would all say we can't do it without Jesus, we admit that. We're sinners. We can't do it on our own. But don't we want to push it as close to that line of perfection as we can? I do. You know, I do. And as I just read this and studied, and I don't know why it came to me, I just said, you know, but this should be about glorifying God. Emptying myself and glorifying God. And then letting God use me wherever He'll use me. And studying His Word not to be better, but to be pleasing to Him. Because He's paid the price for me. And so I want to search His Word and say, Father, what do You like? What do You want me to be? And I want to do that just to honor You. That's what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, isn't it? That we should let our light shine. We should live in a way that our light shine. We sing with the little ones, this little Christian light of mine. I like it. Oh, and I like it when we say, hide it under a bushel. No. Oh, we're all good at that. No. Right? We're not going to hide our light under a bushel. What about that? I see them looking around. Not going to hide our lights under a bushel. But Jesus said we should let our light shine. And there is a reason that our light should shine. And you remember what the answer to that is? What the reason is? So that others may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So that God is glorified. So I want us to kind of rethink, why are we here? Well, for all of the things that I mentioned, because those are all important. Us being encouraged is important, and encouraging each other is important. Us teaching each other and learning from each other and being examples to each other and even correcting each other is all important. But as we sing our songs and we say our prayers, it should be about glorifying and honoring God, shouldn't it? And as we live our lives, it should be about, what am I doing? How am I glorifying the Father? Am I pleasing Him? And our goal is to please God. And so the things we do are about pleasing God. And what's my only concern? Pleasing God. Right? Pleasing God. I just want to please God. I want to study His Word, not so that I'm better, not so that I'm smarter than you, not so that you'll think I'm great, but so that I can honor God. So that my life brings glory to Him. Maybe in a public way, but maybe only in a private way. Right? Maybe just in a private way. The Lord, because what can mean more to God than this? That we dedicate our lives to serving and honoring Him. What greater gift do you and I have to bring than that? There's not. There's not acts of service or acts of leadership or acts of greatness that any of us can do that is a greater gift than just giving our lives in service and honor and praise to God. Let me ask you a question. What did Jesus do? He emptied Himself and became like a man. And He actually gave so much of Himself that He was willing to die a shameful, painful death on a cross. Could Jesus have done great things? And He did in His teaching and His life. But it was all humility and it was all different than what anyone expected, right? It could have been about great acts of oratory, or great acts of service, or great acts of leadership, or great acts of philanthropy, which all of us are called to do different things. But Jesus did what? He emptied Himself and He gave up His will to the service of God. The greatest act He could perform was that of surrender. That's why it's so important on the last day, before Jesus is going to be arrested, that night before His arrest, He talks about greatness. He talks about greatness. Rob, would you mind going out front just a second? He talks about greatness. And what does that greatness mean? What does greatness look like? God in the flesh is telling us what greatness looks like. And what does it look like? Washing feet, right? Washing feet. Not what we would have anticipated, but washing feet. And so as we think about coming to God, and I'm thankful for eternal life. And I'm thankful for the blessings that God gives every day. Because I feel immensely blessed. Immensely blessed. Don't you? I feel immense, and I'm thankful to Him for all of those things. And they're important. And I believe it's God that gives us all those. But I just want to sometimes stop and say, I want to be about God. I want to make sure that I'm about surrendering to Him and honoring Him and praising God. In all of His greatness, not for what He does, but for who He is. And that I want my life to be a gift to God, not because I'm worthy or because it's special, but because it's really giving of ourselves is all we can give, right? Not that I'm going to give a part or out of an abundance, but I want to give of myself. And so I think that's important, because here's what Habakkuk says. Lord, I have heard of your fame, and I stand in awe of your deeds. I stand in awe of your deeds. What's Habakkuk saying? God, I've heard, and I am in awe. I'm going to take a pause here just for a second and thank Stan. Because you know you're preaching a little long when the song leader gets in there and gets them songs going really quick, not a lot of verses. But instead of me getting out early, it just gave me more time, Stan, and I recognize it. Thank you, brother. But I wanted to give you credit so everybody, if they missed it, Stan tried. But in awe of God, and he's heard of God's deeds. And so those were things that benefited God's people. And I don't want to discount that today, but it was about, I am all of you, God, because of what you have done, because of who you are. And Habakkuk then has a dependence upon God. It is so important for us to remember the great works of God. The great work. And I've shared with you this many times. I want to make sure that for us, for all of us, that the Scripture is not a storybook. And what I mean by that, I like a good story. I mean, I do. I like a good story. All of us do. We like a movie that tells a good story. We like a book that tells a good story. We love an individual that can tell a good story. But the Scripture is not telling a good story that is made up. It is about telling our story, the story of God, that is factual. And there is a difference. Not that it's just a story that has moral lessons. It does. Not it's just a story that gives us in some type of fable form, like Aesop, about how we ought to live. But it is about, this is God, and this is what God does for His people. This is what God is able to do. God who can deliver from captivity. God who raises people up years before He calls them to service and prepares them for the service He's called them for. God who parts the waters. God who brings down city walls. God who stops the earth from spinning, or somehow stops the sun from moving. I don't know how He did it, but He did it. Are you talking about blowing your mind? I want them to explain that on Nova. But that's the story of who God is, right? That God delivers people. That God takes few in number and does great things. From the time of Gideon to the 12 apostles. God calms the seas and makes the earth quake. That's who God is. And Habakkuk says, God, I've heard these great stories. Not fictional stories, but I've heard what you have done, and I am in awe of you. As Habakkuk is confused and discouraged and questioning what's going on around him physically and morally in his nation, among his people, he says, God, I'm in awe of you and your power. And what does that mean to me? Habakkuk will ask. Habakkuk will say in this prayer, he said, I stand in awe of your deeds. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk, as he's questioned why things are going on in Judah, and in the answer from God is, I've raised up these terrible Babylonians. That's exactly what God says. And, you know, they're going to bring about change around. And Habakkuk said, God, he's in remembering that God, who has always done these great things, continues to do great things. And he says, God, do those great things in our time. As we look at God and who He is, His power and His greatness, we need to be prayerful and say, God, be about your great power and deliverance in our times. Deliver your people. Protect us and defend us and bring about righteousness. And then Habakkuk says something that's interesting and that's important. But in your wrath, be merciful. In your wrath, be merciful. Because what Habakkuk sees around him, he knows is going to bring about the wrath of God. When people, especially people who knew better, for sure, were living lives contrary to God and in rebellion to God, he knew it was going to bring about God's wrath. But he says, be merciful, even in your wrath, as we know that's who you are. But bring deliverance like you've brought before, from the oppression that your people feel. Some of this from the outside, some of this is oppression even from your own people who have turned from walking in your ways. Bring us deliverance. And the great story of deliverance is what? The story of the deliverance from Egyptian captivity, right? God, you've done it before. When we were in captivity in Egypt, when we were slaves and we were oppressed. Remember, their children were being killed. They were being worked severely. God, you delivered us. And not only were you able to deliver us from Egypt, but you brought us through all of the difficulties that entailed after that, right? You destroyed their army in the sea. You led us and fed us in the desert. Here's the story. Here's the lesson from that. Remember about their shoes and their clothes? We think about the manna. It's probably the thing we think about most in the wilderness wandering, isn't it? Manna. And then quail. But their clothes never wore out. When we talk about being in awe of God, not only did God provide where there was food, but they didn't even have to worry about their clothing. Their clothes didn't even wear out. Because God took care of them. And Habakkuk says, take care of us in our time as you have taken care of your people in times past. Bless us like you have before. It's a great, really, a great prayer of hope as we live in a time of change and a time of question and a time of concern about what's happening around us in our world, in our culture, even within churches, to say, God, it's all about you. And I am in awe of you because you are the deliverer. You are our protector. As David would say, you're my rock and my fortress, right? My help comes from you. Habakkuk says, I'm in awe of you and your deeds, and I remember your greatness, and I pray that you be mindful of us today, and that your greatness and your power, you use it to deliver us as you have in the past. I hope that's our prayer today, that we'll be mindful of God and His greatness and in His power, and all that He has done and does for His people, and that we'll be prayerful, and that our lives will not be about being better for the sake of being better, or solving all the problems for the sake of our own intellect or ability, but it will be about surrendering and serving God and saying, God, I'm in awe of you. And so, as Jesus did, I'm going to surrender my life to you. And God, just as you have always protected and delivered and instructed and raised your people up, do those things in our day. Do those things in our day, in our lives, in our world, in our culture. Do those things for your people, trusting in God. More and more, I want our lives and our assemblies to be about God, about trusting in Him and honoring Him and serving Him and worshiping Him. Because it's not about us and God assisting us. It's about God and our serving and worshiping Him. It's God who is the center and not us. And so as we empty ourselves and fill ourselves with God, it's about God, we're going to serve you and worship you and be in awe of you. And you care for us as you've always cared for your people. We're going to trust you to care for us, to make a difference, to be just and merciful and protective and kind and the deliverer. And we're going to live our lives in honor and service to you. It is about the awesomeness of God, the awesomeness of God who loved us so much that He sent His only Son for us, because God loves us. And see, here's the great thing. Here's that thing that seems so odd, and I will close with this. It's not about us protecting ourselves, being concerned about ourselves, and caring about ourselves, although it just comes naturally to us, right? And the Scripture understands that. Because the Scriptures say, how should we love others? As we love ourselves, right? That a man's going to take care of himself. But the great thing about faith and trust in God is this, that if we'll be all about God, He'll be all about us. Isn't that odd? If we'll be all about Him, He'll take care of us. So it's not about, yeah, God, and so I got to ask you for this. Although it's right for us to pray about those things. I think it's important. I'm not discouraging that. But it's not about me coming and being better, getting the things I need, the things that I see that ought to be. But it's about coming and saying, God, you know more. You're more powerful. Do great things in our lives, in our community, in our world. And let us be about worshiping and serving and glorifying you, knowing that then you'll take care of us. What a blessing that is. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's about like being like little children. Remember Jesus said you must be like one of these little children? There are little children in our crowd this morning, which is a wonderful thing. But how many of them are worried about what's going to be on the table for lunch? Or about somebody putting them in bed tonight? Or getting them up and taking care of them tomorrow? They're just going to play today because why? Mom and daddy, grandma, somebody's going to make sure they got food. And if they fall asleep in the car or on the couch, they're going to get brought in and put in bed. All of those things, right? So they're not worried about a thing. That's what God says. If you'll be about me and trust me, I know all the other things you need, and I'll take care of them for you. If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.